الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيد المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر وما أدراك ما ليلة القدر ليلة القدر خير من ألف شهر تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر صدق الله العظيم وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من قام ليلة القدر إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Most respected elders and brothers, tonight inshallah we'll be witnessing the 21st night of Ramadan. That is, of course, if Allah Ta'ala gives us life. Because no one has got any guarantee with regards to life. So we make dua that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala gives us life to one. Now what is so significant and special about the 21st night of Ramadan? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran has revealed an entire surah discussing a very important night, Laylatul Qadr. Literally, if we translate it, it means the night of power. In fact, this night is so important and significant that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose this night for the revelation of the Quran Majid. We know that the Quran is the greatest of all books. Allah ta'ala revealed the Quran Majid to the greatest of all prophets, Sayyidul Anbiya, Janab Mustafa, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah ta'ala revealed the greatest book to the greatest of all Anbiya in the greatest of all cities, Makkah and Medina. And not only that, in the greatest of all months, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. It was in the month of Ramadan that the Quran was revealed. But not only in the month of Ramadan, but in a particular night in the month of Ramadan. إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. Allah says, we revealed the Quran in the night of power. Now how did Allah Ta'ala reveal the Quran? Allah revealed it from the sacred tablet, what is termed as Lawhul Mahfuz, to the first heaven, ila baytil ma'mur, to the first heaven. And from the first heaven, Allah then revealed it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gradually over a period of 23 years. So that initial revelation took place in this night of power. So it's a very significant night. It is a very special night. And Allah Ta'ala discusses the significance and the speciality and the importance of this night in this one surah that has been dedicated to it. Allah says, "Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr," that indeed we reveal the Quran and Majid in the night of power. Laylatul Qadr. What is this night of power? This night of power, khayrun min alfi shahr. It is better than 1,000 months. And Allah Ta'ala uses, Allah didn't say it is equal to 1,000 months. Allah said it is better than. How much better than? Only Allah knows. So ulama explained that if a person had to do any good deed in this night of power, it is as if the person did that good deed for 1,000 months, which is approximately 83 years. Now we ask ourselves the question, how many people are there who actually live to see 83? It's very few that you see a person reaching 83. And if you meet someone who is in his 80s, you are amazed. And mashallah, the man reached 80 years old. The man is 81 years old. So here, a person doesn't even have guarantee that he's going to live till 80. Because generally, as it is mentioned in the hadith, the average age of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in the region of 60 and 65. That's the average age. So, it is highly likely that a person will not even reach 70 and will not even reach 80. It's the case that we know we're not going to get an opportunity to live till 80. And here you have an opportunity to make ibadat for 80 years just by sacrificing or just by applying ourselves and exerting ourselves in this one night. Is it not wise and prudent and intelligent that we take advantage of this particular night? Now, the beauty is that this night is unknown to us. The overwhelming majority of the scholars are of the view that we do not know exactly when this night is. But we do know from the ahadith that it is highly likely it is in the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan. And according to other riwayat, it is in the odd nights of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Meaning, it could be on the 21st night of Ramadan. It could be on the 23rd night of Ramadan. It could be on the 25th night of Ramadan. It could be on the 27th night or the 29th. So 5 nights. There's 5 possible nights that this night of power could be. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Laylatul Qadri khayrun min alfi shahr. And then Allah ta'ala describes what happens in this night. تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ فِيهَا بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ أَمْرٍ سَلَامٌ حَتَّى مَطْلَعِ الْفَجْرِ. That in this night, besides the special blessings and barakat and rahmah and mercies of Allah that will be descending in this night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also instructs the angels to descend. And which angels? Jibreel alayhi salam, who is the Amir and the leader of all the angels. He descends in this night with the other angels as well. And they move around. And any person engaged in ibadah, they greet this person. They say, Salam. Salamun. Peace be to you. Blessings be to you. Congratulations that you got this night. And then Allah says, هِيَ حَتَّى مَطْلَعِ الْفَجْرِ. It is still, this night continues till the time of Fajr. That as soon as Fajr sets in, the night terminates. So we have that, if we may say, window of opportunity from after the Maghrib Salah till the time of Fajr. Any ibadat that we engage in indeed in the night of power, it will be as if we had made that particular ibadah, whether it was tilawat of the Quran Sharif, whether it was a recitation of durood and salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether it was, you know, we made some nafil salah, we performed some tahajjud salah, we recited one juz of the Quran, we recited Surah Waqia, we recited Surah Dukhan, we recited Yasin Sharif, the person gave little bit charity in this night, the person performed his taraweeh salah with diligence, with concentration and devotion, it will be as if the person did that for 1,000 months, for 83 years. And that's minimum 83 years. Allah says, خَيْرٌ مِّنْ. It is better than 83 years of ibadah, of worship. So therefore, respected elders and brothers, it is prudent for us that tonight being the 21st, the first of the odd nights, that we apply ourselves. Condition ourselves. Of course, there are some people who are working the entire day, but today being a public holiday, there are many places that are actually closed. So we have a, quite potentially or possibly, depending on what kind of business the person has or work, but it could be that the person is closing the shop a little earlier, or the person is not even working today. So we can rest this afternoon after Jummah, there's no lunch, you can rest a little, so that tonight you can apply yourself. I'm not saying you have to stay awake the entire night, but any ordinary night, perhaps you didn't make that much ibadah, but on these odd nights, try and apply yourself a little more. Recite a little more Quran and Majid. Recite your durood and salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Read some tahajjud salah. Read some good Islamic literature. Listen to some good bayan. Do some good deed on this night. Inshallah, the person will get an opportunity of earning great, great rewards. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, مَنْ قَامَ لَيْلَةَ الْقَدْرِ إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ دَنْبِ. The person who performs salah, nafil salah, in the night of power, in Laylatul Qadr, Allah will forgive all his sins. All the minor sins of this person will be forgiven. One very important thing that we can engage in this night of power, is seeking forgiveness from Allah, sincerely repenting before Allah. Making sincere tawbah. What is our istighfar? Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. But the real tawbah is that the person, whatever sin he or she was involved in or is involved in, that in this night of power we say, Ya Allah, tonight I make a firm resolution to give up this sin. I want to give up this sin. The person, for example, the person has a habit of taking intoxicants, drugs. The person is on a drug habit. In this night of power, he makes a firm resolution. Remember that the condition for tawbah to be accepted, there are three conditions for the tawbah to be accepted. The first condition is that the person, ayyukli'a. The person must stop committing that sin. He must leave it out. The person can't be popping the pill and then saying, Ya Allah, make maaf. Make maaf, but he's still taking the pill inside. So that is a joke. That's mockery to Allah Ta'ala. That is disrespect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That can earn the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's like the son, the father tells the son, you know, stop doing this here. And then the son does it in front of the father and says, make me maaf. The father will give the son one tight shot. How dare you? You have the audacity, you're asking for maaf and you're still doing it. So how can we do that? A person is committing the sin and then asking Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. This is a mockery to Allah Ta'ala. So the person has to give up that sin. You have to give up that sin. And then number two, that the person has to have regret and remorse over the sin. There has to be nadamat. If there is no nadamat, that sin will not be forgiven. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "An-nadmu tawbah." That the real essence of tawbah is that there must be regret and remorse over their sin. That, Ya Allah, you blessed me with this body of my health. You gave me life. And I went and took and spent the money that you gave me to buy this drug to damage my body. Can you imagine the person goes into the pharmacy, he says, listen, I want you to give me some medication that can damage my body. Yes, it. 100 rand. I got 100 rand if you can give me something that can damage my body. So that pharmacist will say that we need to dispatch this person to the nearest asylum. There's something wrong with him. That how can you be spending money to damage your health? So the person who is taking drugs, he is actually wasting or spending his money to destroy his own health. So the person says that, Ya Allah, I spent the money that you gave me to damage my own health. How could I have done such a thing? So there is regret and remorse in the heart. Remember the incident of Adam ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam, when he made an error of judgment. What did he say? رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Oh Allah, we have oppressed ourselves. We have made zulam upon ourselves. وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا. Oh Allah, if you do not forgive us, if you do not have mercy upon us, لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. We are going to be destroyed. So look at the Nabi of Allah, despite him being such a great person, such an accepted person in the court of Allah. But look at the regret and remorse over an error of judgment. It wasn't even a sin, it was an error of judgment. But he acknowledged his weakness. And he also acknowledged his need of the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now if the person is making dua, Ya Allah, maaf kare, make us maaf. If you want to make us maaf, we can make us maaf. If you don't want to, it's okay. So what kind of a dua is that? The person who is a beggar, Allah says, Ya ayyuhan nas, antumul fuqara'u ilallah, wallahu huwa al-ghaniyu al-hamid. O people, you are beggars in front of Allah Ta'ala. Allah is the one who has got the wealth, and Allah Ta'ala is the one who is worthy of praise. So if a beggar goes in front of the person and asks for something, how will he ask? He will humble himself. He will express his weakness. He will express his helplessness. He will show his weaknesses. And some of these professional beggars, they make sure that the clothes are nice and torn. I remember some many years back, there was one person in the Overport area. He used to even, you know, hide the hand inside and put a, you know, as if the hand had been cut. So the person makes himself appear very, very, you know, pitiable. He's worthy of some help. We are beggars in front of Allah Ta'ala. So we will express our helplessness before Allah Ta'ala. So the second condition for tawbah is that there must be regret and remorse over the sin. There must be regret and remorse. And the third condition for one's tawbah to be accepted is that the person must make a firm resolution that, Ya Allah, I will not commit this sin again. I don't want to commit this sin. I'm making a firm resolution that I will not commit this sin again. At the time of making tawbah, the person has got that firm azam and resolution that he does not want to commit the sin. Its example is this year, is a person was coming for Jummah Salah, and whilst coming to the masjid, he was walking, and there was a sewer line on the side, and he slipped. He made a mistake, he slipped and he fell in that sewer line. So now what did? As soon as he fell, he realized he made a mistake. He quickly came out from there. And now he looked at himself and he felt, you know, disgusted. You know, he felt absolutely disgusted with himself. There was regret and remorse. How could I have fallen there? And then what did he do? He immediately went, washed himself, purified himself. And now he headed again to the masjid. And now when he headed to the masjid, he had a firm resolution that I must not fall again. I must not fall again. If the person went back, had a bath, and he says, right now, I must make sure I walk on that same path. And I want to slip again inside. So we'll say that this is not a, this person is not correct, there's something incorrect in the brain. So the person who has committed a sin, he has to have that firm resolution that, Ya Allah, I don't want to violate your command again. That, Ya Allah, you have blessed me with every bounty that I have. How can I use your bounties to violate your very commands? The father gives the son a pen, very expensive pen to use. And imagine that son takes the pen and he starts scraping the father's car. What will we say about that son? That your father gave you the pen and you took that pen to damage the father's car, to cause inconvenience to the father. Of course, no one can cause any inconvenience to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is too powerful for any inconvenience to be caused to him. If the whole of Allah Ta'ala, it makes absolutely no difference to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. However, we are becoming recipients of the anger of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah blessed us with our faculties. Allah Ta'ala gave us our energy. And we're using that same energy to violate the very commands of the giver of those bounties. This is what we would term as stupidity. Foolishness. That Allah blessed you with your bounties. Allah blessed you with the energy. And you use that same energy to violate the commands of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So the person makes a firm resolution, Ya Allah, I do not want to commit this sin anymore. And ulama have added a fourth condition, as mentioned by Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayh, that there is a fourth condition, and that condition is associated to the rights of people. That if you had committed a sin that was linked to the right of some person, you made ghibat of someone, you did not fulfill the inheritance of your sister, you had control over the estate and you had the money with you. And according to Shariat, Allah Ta'ala says, يُوصِيكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي أَوْلَادِكُمْ لِلذَّكَرِ مِثْلُ حَظِّ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ. That you're supposed to be giving a share to your sister. She will get half of what you get. But instead you say, her husband is well off. She doesn't need this money. So I think if I give her, she's supposed to get 100,000, I'll give her 25,000. 25,000 is sufficient for her because she got enough money. I'll take the rest for myself. You have taken the right of someone else. You have violated their right. Allahu Akbar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Atadruna manil muflis. Oh my companions, do you know who is a bankrupt person? The Sahaba said, "Malla mata'a lahu wa la mala lahu." That person who doesn't have any assets and he's got no money. The Nabi of Allah said, no. The bankrupt person is that person on the day of Qiyamah, he will come with lots of good deeds. Ya'ti bi salatin wa siyamin wa zakatin. The person will come with salah. He will come with fasting. He will come with lots of zakat that he had distributed and lots of good deeds. But شتم هذا قذف هذا ضرب هذا أخذ مال هذا سفك دم هذا. But the person, what has happened to him? He's insulted this person, he's sworn at that person, he's hit this person, he's usurped the wealth of someone, he spilled the blood of someone. And each of these people will come to him and they will lodge a complaint, and Allah will say, take from his good deeds. Until it is mentioned, there will be no good deeds left. More people will still come forward. It will be said that throw your sins into his account. Until Allah, it is mentioned, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, فَيُطْرَحُونَ, that he will be, فَيُطْرَحُونَ فِي النَّارِ, that this person will then be thrown into the fire of Jahannam. May Allah protect us. Therefore, you rather fulfill that right in this world. You rather tell your sister that there's 75,000 rand that's due to you. I didn't give it to you. It was not correct. I will give it to you in this world. I don't have the money now. But I will pay you every month 5,000 rand. I will pay you every month 10,000 rand. And over a period of the next 7-10 months, inshallah, I'll be paid off. I ask for sincere forgiveness for usurping your right. I should never have done that. You rather do it now, respected elders and brothers. Otherwise, in the akhirah, we are in big problems. We are in big problems. Make sure that you fulfill the rights of the fellow human being in this world. And remember, it is the right of power. On one occasion, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, what a great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, narrated more than 13,000 ahadith. He was seated with a group of people and they requested him to make dua. So he raised his hands and then he dropped his hand. He said, is there anyone in this gathering who has broken family ties? Is there anyone in this gathering who has broken family ties? If he has, he should please leave this gathering and mend that family ties and then he may return. Those around him inquired from him, O Abu Huraira, why did you do this? He said, I heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Allah Ta'ala's mercy does not descend on a gathering fihi qati'u rahimin. In that gathering is a person who has broken family ties. Allahu Akbar. Imagine an entire gathering will be deprived of Allah's mercy, violated and broken family ties. Maintaining our family relations, respected elders and brothers, is extremely, extremely important. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in one ayat of the Quran Sharif that those people who break وَيَقْطَعُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَن يُوصَلْ وَيُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ اللَّعْنَةُ وَلَهُمْ سُوءُ الدَّارِ, that those people who break family ties, upon them is the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are far away from the mercy of Allah ta'ala. Hence, tonight is the 21st night of Ramadan. If you are not talking to your brother because of some incident that took place, pick up the phone. Say, bhai, make maaf. Tonight is the 21st night of Ramadan. Whatever happened, you know, I make maaf from my side. You make maaf. If there's anything due, inshallah, we'll talk about it. But I want forgiveness. I want you to forgive me. And if he says a whole lot of things to you, bhai, this is part of life. People will say things. People said lots of things to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They called him a madman. They called him a magician. They called him a sorcerer. If people could insult Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why are we getting so bothered? Are we greater than the Rasul of Allah? And sometimes the brother will sway you back. That you phone now after so long. But let him say what he needs to say. At least you know on the day of Qiyamah, I asked for forgiveness. I made an effort to maintain that family relations. You're not on talking terms with your mother. You're not on talking terms with that one aunt of yours. Pick up the phone. Send the message. You humble yourself. Maintain our family relations. Respected elders and brothers, this is extremely important. Yes, it's not an easy thing. It is not an easy thing. And that is why it is so rewarding. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, لَيْسَ الْوَاصِلُ بِالْوَاصِلُ بِالْمُكَافِي إِنَّ الْوَاصِلَ الَّذِي إِذَا قَطِعَتْ رَحِمُهُ وَصَلَهَا. That who is the person who is maintaining family ties? It's that person that when there has been a breakdown in the relationship, he makes an effort to reconnect again. He makes an effort to patch up again. So always be the one who humbles yourself and maintain the family relations. And Allahu Akbar, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever would like to have lots of barakah in his rizq and sustenance and to have a wonderful life, فَلْيَصِلْ رَحِمَهُ, then let him maintain family relations. Let him maintain family relations. By you maintaining your family relations, you will invite the mercy of Allah in your home. You will invite the mercy of Allah in your dua. Your dua will be readily accepted. So in the night of power, make sure that relations have been maintained. We are not holding a grudge in our heart for anyone. Remember that you have got hatred in your heart for someone. Then that will prevent Allah's forgiveness. That will prevent Allah's forgiveness. Learn to forgive and forget. I will end with one incident in the life of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, who we know from the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the greatest is Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, the second Khalifa. There was an incident wherein his beloved daughter, who was Ummul Mu'mineen, the wife, a beloved wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ma Aisha radiallahu anha. People accused her, na'udhu billah, of adultery. Can we imagine how serious that was? They accused her of adultery, the noble wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there was one sahabi who also got involved in the scandal. You know how rumors spread now with WhatsApp, you see. You heard about this one, you heard about that one, this organization, that organization. And we carry on, you know, copy paste, broadcast, copy paste. We don't even know, we don't even verify if it happened or didn't happen. So it happened in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So one of those Sahaba who got involved was Mistah bin Athatha radiallahu anhu. And he was a relative of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Not only that, he wasn't well to do, so Abu Bakr Siddiq used to assist him financially. He used to help him financially. When he got involved in this scandal, and after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exonerated and freed and honored the name of Aisha radiallahu anhu, read the ayat of Ifk, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the lofty status of Aisha radiallahu anha. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was very, very upset. He said, Wallahi, I take a qasam of Allah, I'm not going to help this relative of mine ever again. That how dare he do such a thing to my daughter, the kind of pain that he caused us. Allah Ta'ala revealed verses of the Quran and Majeed. وَلَا يَأْتَلِ أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَسَعَةِ أَنْ يُؤْتُوا أُولِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Let not the people of nobility and virtue take an oath that they will not assist the poor, the needy, and their relatives. وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا. Let them forgive and forget. Do they not want that Allah must forgive them? Abu Bakr Siddiq, when he heard these verses, he said, Wallahi, I take a qasam of Allah. I love that Allah must forgive me. Not only did he continue supporting the Sahabi, he doubled his support. He doubled his support. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to purify our hearts, to remove the grudges from our hearts, to maintain our family relations. And may Allah ta'ala make us of those fortunate ones that finds the great night of power, Laylatul Qadri, that night which is better than 83 years of ibadah. Allah make us of those fortunate ones that gets that night. And may Allah ta'ala grant us a wonderful Eid. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.